Good morning, and welcome to St. James Presbyterian Church. I am privileged to be the music director here. My name is Carolyn Mullen. Today, our pastor Seth is away because this is the first Sunday of our pulpit swap, and so Seth is at Birchwood Presbyterian today, and we get to welcome the Reverend Doug Bunnell, who is the pastor at First Pres, and we're, yay! I just think this is going to be so much fun for the next weeks, and we are really looking forward to hearing some different voices and just welcoming some wonderful, wonderful pastors in our midst. You can check the calendar in the bulletin. Make sure you don't have a committee meeting this week, or perhaps you do have a committee meeting this week. The only other announcement that I have is in the hallway as you head down to the offices, we have our usher sign-up sheets, and they are suspiciously empty for August. Now, maybe you're all going away, but if some of you could be here and could help ushering, we would really appreciate to having some sign-ups for that. Beyond that, in the pews are our friendship pads. They're found in the center, and if you would take those and pass those and please sign in so we can get to know you, that would be wonderful. There are also prayer request cards in the pews, and if you have a specific prayer request, please feel free to fill one of those out, and then during the time of the passing of the peace, the ushers will be coming down the center aisle, and they will gather those. So if you have one of those, just hold it up, and the ushers will take care of that. I see no other announcements. It must be summertime. So I will ask that at this time we turn towards feeling the Spirit, hearing the Word, and feeling God's love amongst us. Would you please rise? Come, let us worship our God, for there is one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and parent of all, who is above all and through all and in all. We come with humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another in love. Our opening hymn is number 291. You'll find it in the purple hymnal.
Oh,
Please be seated. Let us confess our sin together, for we all have fallen short of the glory of God. Please join me. God, you have called us to live lives worthy of the calling to which we have been called. But we confess to you and each other that we have not always spoken the truth in love. We have not always made every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Forgive us, and by your grace, help us to grow in every way into him who is our head, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let us take a moment to silently confess our sins to a God of mercy. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy. In your name we pray. Amen. The psalmist, Psalm 103 tells us that as far as the east is from the west, think about that. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our sins and transgressions from us. Brothers and sisters, we are forgiven and we are being made whole. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's respond in our forgiven joy by standing and singing together, Glory be to the Father. Kids at this moment can make their way forward for the children's message. Seated. How are you guys? My name's Doug. Today I want to talk about shooting bows and arrows. Do you guys know the big word for shooting bows and arrows? Have you ever heard of it? What do you think it is? Do you think some of the bigger archery? High five. Nice. Archery. So in archery, you take the arrow and you pull it back. Have you guys ever done archery? I've only done it. You tried to it. I tried to, too. I don't know if I've ever really done it. I have tried a few times. And you pull the string back, and then you're shooting for this thing out in the field. Do you remember what that's called? We call it kind of a target. And in the middle of that target, there's something we're trying to hit. Do you know what that is? I've never hit it, so I don't even need to know what it is, because there's the chances of me hitting it are very low. But you know there's a little circle inside the target. Do you know what that's called? Can you guys think about that?
A dot?
A dot? It seems like a dot to me. Big kids know what that's called?
Bullseye.
Bullseye. You ever heard of the bullseye? Sometimes, well, if you get something right, someone will say, bullseye, like you hit it right. And so you're shooting for that dot. So archers used to have this term. They used to have a term for when you didn't hit the little dot.
A little bullseye
right in the middle. And if the archer didn't hit the bullseye, the word that they would use was sin. Isn't that interesting? We just use that word in our prayer. So to sin was to not hit the little bullseye. If you hit above the bullseye, it was sin. If you hit below the bullseye, if you hit to the left, if you hit to the right, or like me, if you just were not even hitting the target and you had to walk 40 yards after it to pick up your arrows, that was called a sin. And so Bible people took that word and they said, okay, that's our word, that God says, I want you to hit the bullseye. And the goal is to hit the bullseye. And if you don't hit the bullseye, it's okay, because I forgive you. But that's the goal, to hit the bullseye. So when we talk about sin, we're talking about anything that doesn't hit the bullseye. And you guys have a coloring sheet you get to look at that's going to do that. So can you think, how hard do you think it is to hit the bullseye with all of your life? Pretty hard. That's why we do the prayer of confession every week. Some of us do it every day. Every day we're like, Lord, I didn't hit the bullseye. Thanks for your grace. Tomorrow I'm going to try to hit the bullseye. Will you join me? Let's say a quick prayer. Lord, give us the grace by the power of your Spirit to be able to hit the bullseye. And thank you for forgiveness for the many places where we fall short. In your name we pray. Amen. Okay, I think we have some, oh, there we are. We have some coloring sheets. Don't leave yet, because we have some really cool coloring sheets. Okay, there's, no thank you. Would you like one? Okay. There's not one on that. That one looks much less fun. Okay, blessings, you guys. And as brothers and sisters in our forgiven joy, we have been reconciled with God, but we have also been reconciled with each other. That means that we celebrate that we have been created one body. It is not about what we have done, it's what God has done. We celebrate that every week in the ancient practice of passing the peace of Christ. The peace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Let's stand and pass that peace to someone around us.
Each of us has been given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. Let us give a measure of what has already been given to us. Will the ushers please come forward? Will you please pray with me? Holy God, may the reading of your word be for us the bread you send from heaven that gives life to the world. Amen. Our first scripture reading is found in Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 22 through 28. And if you would like to read along, please look at page 805 in your pew Bible. Therefore, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. I will sanctify my great name, which has been profaned among the nations and which you have profaned among them. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, says the Lord God, when through you I display my holiness before their eyes. I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your uncleannesses, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. A new heart I will give you, and a new spirit I will put within you, and I will remove from your body the heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and make you follow my statutes and be careful to observe my ordinances. Then you shall live in the land that I gave to your ancestors, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. The word of the Lord.
It is a great honor to be here. I am a card-carrying member of the Seth Thomas Fan Club. I am one of the charter members. I believe Kyle has one of those other charter cards. I had the privilege of getting to know and experience the ministry of Seth when he graduated from college. So it's been a joy to watch him, and we are thrilled, those of us who are the members of the Seth Thomas Fan Club, which is growing every day, getting a lot of members from St. James now, as we get to see Seth continue the ministry he's been doing for years here in Bellingham. We are so excited. I was praying about this and praying and really thought this would be a great fit for him, and I heard that he was coming to St. James while I was on a 45-day trek, pilgrimage, in Spain to Santiago. Santiago is Spanish for St. James. So I was on the road of St. James when I heard that Seth was going to St. James. And it just felt wonderfully fitting to hear that news. And at the end of it, you get to actually go and hug the statue of St. James, which is odd. But when I did that, I had a chance to, you're supposed to whisper a prayer in the ear of St. James. So my prayer was for Seth coming here to this community. So thrilled that he is here. But differently than Seth. Seth is a Northwest kid. I am not. I am a California guy. I grew up in California. I grew up going to the beach. And when I went to the beach, I would dig holes at the beach. Because when I went to the beaches in California, I didn't find rocks. I found sand. I know it's hard to believe, but it's true. There was sand on the beaches. And my grandmother loved the white sand beaches of Carmel. I was much more comfortable in Santa Cruz, Capitola, Half Moon Bay, San Gregorio, Pomona. These were my Pompeo. These were my beaches. These were the places I would go. And I loved the sand so much, and I loved digging so much, that I actually brought big shovels to the beach and would just dig these big, wonderful holes. And there was something about the ocean that just amazed me. Something about the ocean that just caused me wonder. And I would just sit looking out at this vast expanse of water, and I couldn't understand it, and I couldn't wrap my mind around it, and I would ask questions of my father. And so as I had dug a hole and it was filling up with water, he would say, well, the ocean is like this hole. And I would look at the hole, and he would say that the ocean is surrounded, this giant mass of water that's surrounded by land. And I would look down at my little hole, and then I would look out at the ocean and go, well, kind of. And my father would use these holes in the ground as a way, a metaphor, a way to explain something as majestic and mysterious and large like the ocean. We're going to spend the next 3 weeks looking at a hole in the sand. And that hole in the sand is called the Trinity. If you look through your Bibles and look up the word Trinity, you will never find it. The word Trinity does not appear in the Bible because the word Trinity is a hole that people dug. It's a hole that they dug to try to understand something more majestic and larger than the ocean. The word Trinity is a way that we've tried to understand something as mysterious as the Almighty God. And Trinity is this idea that, well, God is three and one. And he's never more one than three, and he's never more three than one. He's always three and one at the same time. And it's like looking at the hole in the ground and saying, it's like the ocean. Sort of. Because what we're talking about is something mysterious. But to do that, we're going to spend 3 weeks looking at each member of the Trinity. We're going to spend a time for the next 3 weeks looking at each member of the Trinity to try to understand just a little bit more this mystery of the Almighty God. About 20 years ago, I grew very excited about the person of the Holy Spirit. I wanted to study and understand the Holy Spirit, and I realized at that point that I was a functional binitarian. If we can make up a word Trinitarian, I get to make up the word binitarian. I had become just enthralled with Jesus. I was very excited about God, and yet I had never heard a sermon about the Holy Spirit. I'd never heard teaching about the Holy Spirit. I never heard any mention about the Holy Spirit except that we said Holy Ghost when we said the Apostles' Creed, and that seemed odd to me. So that's all I knew about the Spirit. And so I started delving more deeply. And that has been one of the most exciting adventures of my life. Trying to understand more of who God is by understanding the ministry and the work of the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit. It's been one of the most exciting adventures of my life. And welcome to it as we delve today. Today, we're going to look at Jesus teaching about the Holy Spirit. And the best place for me to do that is in the Gospel of John. We're going to look at what Jesus says about the Holy Spirit. He gives us a primer. He gives us five different little sections in chapters 14 and 16 about the gospel in the Gospel of John. He gives us five different teaching segments all about the Holy Spirit. The disciples are scared. Jesus has told them that he's leaving them. He's told them that it's time for him to go away. You can almost taste the fear on the pages of John. And yet, he is downloading as much information as he can about who he is and how they are to continue the ministry that he's begun. So let's look at the Gospel of John to understand a little bit more about the Holy Spirit. There is a tradition in Jewish communities that whenever the Torah is spoken, they always stand. And as a Jewish person, you would stand when you would testify to the truth. That has made it into some Christian communities. We stand when the gospel is read. I would invite you, if you are able, please stand as we listen to God's word from the gospel. This is John chapter 16, verses 7 through 15. Jesus is speaking. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the advocate will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And when he comes, he will prove the world wrong about sin and righteousness and judgment. About sin, because they do not believe in me. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer. And about judgment, because the ruler of this world has been condemned. I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them right now. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. For he will not speak on his own, but will speak whatever he hears. And he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, because he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. For this reason I said, he will take what is mine and declare it to you. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Jesus begins this little section by saying it is to the advantage of the disciples that he is going away. I did not grow up in church. I did not become a follower of Jesus until more of my high school years. And I used to dream about what it would have been like to be on the beach having breakfast with Jesus. I used to dream about being able to see the miracles he did, being able to hear the Sermon on the Mount. I thought the disciples were so lucky because they got to stand face to face in front of Jesus. And yet, when I got to chapter 16, I read these words, and Jesus says, as great as the disciples have it, we have it better. We have it better than the disciples. We have it better than those who walked on the shores of Galilee with Jesus, because having the Holy Spirit is better than walking alongside Jesus when he was in the midst of his ministry. If that doesn't just blow every neuron in your brain, you're not wrapping your arms around it. We have it better than the disciples because of this gift of the Holy Spirit. So let's dig into who this Holy Spirit person is. In chapter 14, Jesus says, the Spirit is another advocate. I love these two words, another advocate. I'm going to focus on another. He is another advocate. When you hear the word another, what can you automatically understand? There's another. If I tell you, would you like another cookie? You will have to say, no, I cannot have another cookie because I have not yet had a first cookie. I can't have another cookie if I have not had a cookie. And Jesus says, I'm going to send another advocate. Another advocate. And so this word advocate, it gets translated. It gets translated helper. It gets translated counselor. It gets translated friend. And some people just translate it, which is not fair. They transliterate it and they put in the Greek word paraclete. The Greek word is paraclete. Some people say, I can't translate this word, so I'm just throwing the Greek word in there. I'm going to give you another paraclete. So paraclete comes from the Greek verb parakaleo. Para is alongside. Kaleo is to come alongside. So parakaleo is coming alongside. So a paraclete is a coming alongside one who comes alongside. So Jesus is saying, I am going to give you another one who comes alongside. When I was a kid, I used to love to go canoeing. And I remember being on a family canoe trip, and we were going, and my cousin and I swamped our canoe. Everything fell over. We fell over. I was in the water, and I was going, and I could see that I was heading into this submerged log, which are dangerous. These are not good things for canoes. And I was only in third grade, and I knew this was bad, but the water was deeper than I was tall. There was nothing I can do, and there was a weeping willow hanging over. And I just knew I had to do something, so I grabbed onto the branches of the weeping willow and stopped going down. But at that point, I'm just a little kid holding onto a branch with water and a really bad thing coming up. I needed someone taller than me to come alongside and be able to get me. And my aunt at that point waded into the water and was able to come alongside and get me safely to the shore. I needed someone to come alongside. And the truth is, we all need someone to come alongside. Jesus says, I'm going to send another one to come alongside. So first off, we know that they already had one who came alongside. Okay? This is always that Sunday school question. Who was that? Jesus! Yeah! That's always the Sunday school answer. Jesus is the first one to come alongside. But the Holy Spirit is another one who comes alongside. In John, we hear this is the way the Spirit comes alongside. We hear that the Spirit will teach us. We hear that the Spirit will remind us. We hear that the Spirit will prove us wrong, will convict us. If you have ever been in the midst of a hard situation and you remember a Bible verse, you might think, I'm so thankful that my brain remembered the Bible verse. But we would say that might not have been your brain, that might have been the Holy Spirit. If we're learning something, it might be the work of the Holy Spirit. If a Bible passage comes to mind when we're talking to someone and we just think, they need to hear this Bible passage, it may be the Holy Spirit that is giving us that Bible passage. So the Holy Spirit teaches, reminds, comes alongside us in a way that is even more significant than the way Jesus was able to come alongside. That is an incredible ministry, that the Spirit comes alongside. We are actually living lives that the prophets only dreamt about. Did you hear the Ezekiel passage? There's a passage in Ezekiel just saying, oh, when he's, it's just, I'm longing for that time when everyone will have access to the Holy Spirit. That's our time. We're living the time that Ezekiel and Isaiah and Jeremiah just dreamt about. And Moses said, oh, how great it would be if everyone had the Holy Spirit. So we have this advocate, this coming alongside one in our lives, and we hear that what the Holy Spirit will do will prove the world wrong. This is one of the roles of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will prove the world wrong. This was a breathtaking revelation to me, because up till this point, it seemed to me that Christians felt like it was their job to prove the world wrong. Most of the followers of Jesus I knew felt like it was their job to get out there and make sure that the world knew they were wrong. And it turns out, not their job. The best, healthiest organizations is when everyone knows what they're supposed to do. Have you ever had a job in an organization, you get there and someone ever already did your job and did it poorly? You're like, this is my job. And the Holy Spirit is saying, the Holy Spirit is going to prove the world wrong. We don't need to do that. It's not our job. We don't need to stand up in the middle of Bellingham and say, you guys are wrong. You've got it wrong. The Holy Spirit will prove the world wrong. And here's what the Spirit will prove the world wrong about. The Spirit will prove the world wrong about what is really wrong in the world, what is really right in the world, and who is going to win. From our perspective, who has won? What is wrong? What is really right? And who wins? These may not be the questions that you are asking, but they were fundamental questions and questions that our world is asking. What's really wrong? The first verse, this is verse 9 in John, in John 16. Verse 9, Jesus, the Holy Spirit will prove the world wrong about sin because they do not believe in me. Okay, let's make a list of the things that are wrong in the world. Some of us are doing that every day. It happens every time the news feed comes onto my phone. I'm like, oh, there's something very wrong. There is something very wrong. And if I made a list of what was wrong in this world, I would put a lot, and you would probably put a lot. We could probably make a really long list of what is wrong in the world, and it seems to be growing every day. What is wrong? And here's what Jesus says. The Holy Spirit says that Holy Spirit's job is to prove to the world what is wrong about sin. What is wrong? And Jesus says what is wrong in the world is that the world is not putting their faith in Jesus. Did that make it on your list? It actually might not have made it onto my list either. But Jesus says what's wrong with the world, what's wrong in the world, the thing that's most wrong is they're not putting their faith in Jesus. Okay, that is going to probably sound for some of us like a close-minded statement. It might sound like an offensive statement. I'm not the one making it. This is what Jesus is saying. But if Jesus is who he says he is, you can imagine that a life filled with meaning would be centered on Jesus, if he is who he says he is. So I used to love riddles when I was a kid. Are there other people who love riddles? There's just a few geeks out there. Come on, who are the geeks who love riddles? I loved riddles because there was always a central tenet to the riddle. And if you missed that central tenet, you were just flying down all these wrong alleyways trying to figure something out. So our favorite one when we were growing up was, there's an electric train traveling from north to south. It's going 30 miles an hour. There's a wind going east to west, 15 miles an hour. What direction does the smoke go? For those of you who know the riddle, there's one essential element of the riddle. There's one central tenet of the riddle, which is, it's an electric train. If you miss that fundamental tenet, you are going to be sitting down trying to figure out north, south, because it changes every time. Doesn't matter whether it's east, west, north, south. Doesn't matter whether the wind is going. You can change all the different elements because there is no smoke from an electric train. Electric trains don't make smoke. I see some of you are like, oh, yeah. If you miss that part of the riddle, you are going to be in error for the rest of the riddle. And it seems to me that Jesus is saying, this is central to life. Central to life is putting your faith in me. And the Holy Spirit is going to prove the world wrong about what's really wrong. The world has its whole idea about what's wrong in the world, and the Holy Spirit is going to prove the world wrong about what's really wrong in the world. I don't have to prove to you that putting your faith in Jesus is the most important thing. You know why? It's not my job. It's the job of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will prove the world wrong about what is really wrong in the world. Next, the Holy Spirit will prove the world wrong about what is really right in the world. Jesus says the Holy Spirit will prove the world wrong about, first about sin, but now about righteousness. About righteousness, because I am going to the Father and you will see me no longer. The world is wrong about what makes someone righteous. The world is wrong about what righteousness is all about. And Jesus says, and the Holy Spirit will prove to us that righteousness is all about Jesus going to the Father. Well, that's kind of a confusing statement. We can pretty much understand Jesus going to the Father means Jesus making his way to the cross. He has not yet made his way to the cross, but as he goes to the cross, that's his way of going to the Father. It's really a way of just putting in a nutshell his life. It's a nutshell of his ministry. It's him going to the Father. We live in a world where we think righteousness is about the choices we make, about morality, about virtue, about character. And in reality, the Holy Spirit's job is to prove to us that what is right in the world is having our faith in Jesus, that he went to the cross, and righteousness is available not from our own deeds. Righteousness is now available through the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus on the cross. Once more, it's a big idea. It's a big thought. It's the work of the Spirit to prove the world wrong. It's not my job to try to prove to you what Jesus says is true here. It's the work of the Holy Spirit. And the third question is, who won? Here's what Jesus says. He will prove the world wrong about judgment because the ruler of this world, that's another way of saying the evil one, the ruler of this world has been condemned. I don't know about you, but a lot of days when I wake up and look at my news feed, it feels like Jesus didn't win at the cross. It feels like the ruler of this world won. It feels like the dark forces have won. It feels like it all belongs to the emperor and that the rebellion forces have not been able to make a dent. And yet Jesus says it's the work of the Holy Spirit to confirm what the Bible has said and what the church has said for 2,000 years, that 2,000 years ago, Jesus won. The war has been already decided. The war went to Jesus. The evil one has lost. And if we look around in this world, it might be hard to believe that. It might be hard to understand that. And yet to put our faith in what the Holy Spirit confirms, that it was Jesus who actually won, and to live our lives in the reality of his victory 2,000 years ago. That's the calling for those of us who follow Jesus. And then we get to verse 11 and we get to verse 12 and it kind of circles back to the whole thing. The Spirit will glorify me because the Spirit will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. And for this reason, I said, the Spirit will take what is mine and declare it to you. This is the greatest surprise, but it's been hinted at for the whole passage. It's been hinted at the role of the Holy Spirit. The role of the Holy Spirit is to glorify Jesus. I entitled this, I took my title from a book by Dale Bruner. And Dale Bruner calls the Trinity the shy member, that calls the Holy Spirit the shy member of the Trinity. Because the Holy Spirit doesn't jump up and down and say, hey, pay attention to me, look over at me. Hey, come on, everyone, hey, over here. What the Spirit does is in our world, if we have this beautiful cross here in the middle, the Spirit's over here. Look over there. Don't pay attention over here. Look over there. The role of the Spirit is to point to Jesus. It's the Spirit who calls us to Jesus. It's the Spirit who directs our attention to Jesus. It's the Spirit who makes, encourages us to spend and put our faith in Jesus. It's the Spirit who is at work in the life, the shy member of the Trinity. And in our lives, I believe that's the role of the Holy Spirit. We pay attention to the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit helps us to pay attention to Jesus. We pay attention to how, where's the Spirit at work? How's the Spirit in our prayers, in the things that our friends are saying, in the words of Scripture, in the communion, in the sacraments, and all the different elements of life, in creation? We are listening to where is the Spirit speaking to us, and the Spirit is drawing us back to the truth of Jesus, to what is central about life, to what is really right in the world, and to what is really wrong in the world, that we might be people who follow him. So my encouragement to you is to pay attention to the Holy Spirit, to allow the Holy Spirit to direct your attention to Jesus. As we get to this table, this is a table where the Spirit is at work in this table, but the Spirit's work in this table is to draw our focus on to the one who is the sacrifice, to the one who is the host, to the one who invites us, and to the one who loves us. Will you join me in prayer? Our Father, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, Triune God, what an incredible gift you have given us in the third member of your Trinity. What an incredible gift you have given us in the Spirit. Lord, help us to pay attention to your Spirit as you draw our attention more deeply to you. To you be the glory, Lord, today and forever. Prepare our hearts as we prepare to come to communion. Prepare our hearts as we come to the table. In your name we pray, and God's people said, amen. Amen. Let's prepare our hearts for the table. You are invited to this table. This is not a table for some certain club. It's not a table for Presbyterians. It's a table for those who have listened to the words of Jesus, to those who are seeking to live their life in the truth of Jesus, to those who have confessed their sins and have said Jesus is Lord and are seeking to live their life in the Lordship of Jesus. You're invited to this table. If for any reason you do not feel comfortable coming to this table, that's between you and the Lord. You will be invited at whenever we're finished with these stations. There'll be stations up here in the front. If you've never had the chance to receive communion here, there'll be stations up in the front. If you'd like to stay in your seat, just raise your hand and someone will come and serve you at your seat. We have an opportunity to come to this table. We have been invited by the Lord Jesus, by the Triune God, to come to sup with him. Let us prepare our hearts. Would you stand if you are able and let us sing together, Come Holy Spirit, Heavenly Dove, number 279 in the Glory to God hymnal.
Lord,
On the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and after having given thanks, he broke it. And he said to his disciples, "This is my body, which is given for you. Take and eat, and do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, and he said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, shed with my blood for the forgiveness of sins. Drink this also in remembrance of me." The Apostle Paul, who reminds us that every time we take the bread and every time we drink from the cup, that we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. Will you join me in prayer? The Lord be with you and also with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, Lord. Lord, our God, creator, ruler of the universe, in your wisdom, you made all things. You sustained them by your power. You formed us in your image, setting us in this world to love and to serve you, to live in peace with your whole creation. When we rebelled against you, refusing to trust and obey you, you did not reject us, but still claimed us as your own. You sent prophets to call us back on your way. In the fullness of time, out of your great love for the world, you sent your only Son to be one of us, to redeem us, to heal our brokenness. Therefore, we praise you. We join our voices with choirs of angels, with prophets, apostles, martyrs, all the faithful of every time and place, singing to the glory of your name, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God of power and might. Heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. You are holy, O God of majesty. Blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. In Jesus, born of Mary, your word became flesh, dwelt among us, full of grace and truth. He lived as one of us, knowing joy and sorrow. He healed the sick. He fed the hungry. He opened blind eyes. He broke bread with outcasts and sinners. He proclaimed the good news of your kingdom to the poor and the needy. He died on the cross and he gave himself for the life of this world. Rising from the grave, he won for us victory over death. Seated at your right hand, he leads us to eternal life. We praise you that Christ now reigns with you in glory, and he will come again to make all things new. We give you thanks, Lord Jesus. Remember your church, Lord. Unite it with the truth of your word. Empower it in ministry to the world. Remember the world of nations. Renew the face of this earth in peace and justice. Remember our family and friends and bless them and watch over them. Be gracious to them. Give them peace. Remember the sick and the suffering, the aged and the dying. We rejoice, Lord, in the communion of saints. We remember with thanksgiving your faithful servants. We remember those who are dear to us, those whom you have called from this life. We are grateful for them, that their death, that their pain is no more, that there is no longer sorrow, crying, that former things have passed away. And in union, Lord, with your church in heaven and on earth, we pray that you will fulfill your eternal purpose in us and in all the world. To you be the glory. And all God's people said, amen. The bread that we use today is all gluten-free. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. And God's people said, amen. you join me as we pray? Lord, we offer our prayers to you. We pray that you would meet us where we need to be met, that you would teach us what we need to be taught, that you would remind us where we need to be reminded, and that you would prove us wrong where we need to be proven wrong. We are not so attached, Lord, to our ways of life that we do not want to live your truth, that we do not want to live the way you call us to live. We pray, Lord, that you would free us from bondage. And we pray for brothers and sisters that we know that are living in bondage. We pray that you would be leading those who lead our nation. We pray that you would be giving wisdom to those who make decisions. We pray that you would give them wise decisions. And we pray that you would be leading them in integrity and in character, that they might live lives that befit leaders. And Lord, we pray for your church. We pray for all those who are worshiping around this city, around this county, around this state. We pray for brothers and sisters in different denominations and different congregations, different ways of worship. And we pray, Lord, that we would be able to live out the unity that you call us to. And Lord, we pray all this in the prayer that you taught us, praying together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And if you are able, could we all stand as we together sing, "We Are One in the Spirit," number 300 in the Glory to God hymnal. There is coffee in the Horizon Room. Let us continue our worship and fellowship, enjoying the unity that we have as the body of Christ. May you go out as those ready to pay attention to how the Spirit is at work, to pay attention to how the Spirit might be speaking through all different mediums, through all different voices, through creation, through friendship, through God's Word. Pay attention to how the Spirit is drawing you into deep relationship with Jesus, who is one with the Father. And may you go out with this blessing. May you go out with joy and be led forth with peace. May the mountains and the hills break forth before you in singing. May the trees of the field clap their hands. For the great shepherd of the sheep goes before you, and the Lord of hosts is your rear guard. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all God's beloved children said, Amen. Amen.